strawberry jelly, which is what I put on my eggs. That's why it's empty. Then they gave me some butter. And they do this because they gotta think of everything and every combination of how you're gonna season your food, how you're gonna eat your food. And they gotta think of everything. They're trying to anyway. You know when you worry, what you're telling God is, God, you haven't thought of everything, you forgot something. Let me tell you something, God hasn't forgotten anything. If he can take care of the birds and the bees and the ants, he can take care of you. So stop tripping and trust God, he's got your back.
Amen, amen. So that is the, y'all are dark over there. You got lights under there? I tell you, from here, it looks like light is just, phew. Can y'all turn the lights on up there? There we go. Let there be light. How's everybody doing in North County and East County and online? Let's give all those people a hand. God bless y'all. So that is our Miles a Minute app. It's an app you go right on your phone. You could download it today from iTunes or milesaminute.com, and you will get a devotional just like that every day for about a minute, and it has a little prayer and a little discussion, question, the gospel presentation, and other information about how to share it. We've been working on it for a long time. I've probably been filming videos for a year and deleting, because they haven't been coming out right and want to get it right, and most of them just do it right there on the iPhone just like that. So we did that in a hotel a couple months ago. I can't remember when. But hopefully you would download that and share it with your friends. You could use it as a personal devotional. You could do it with somebody else, an accountability partner. I had someone send me an email this morning filming a video of them showing it to their kids. And their kids were watching it, and then they talked about it after. So you could do it all kind of ways. But the biggest reason, the biggest win for me, and the biggest motivation is to not only encourage you with something every single day, and like I said, I do it here. I was in Africa with lions. I was in London and France. Wherever I go, I film it there. And so it's a little mini reality show of all the places I've been going. But for you to share it with your non-Christian friends, and what we've been doing for the last 6 months or more is filming them and showing them to non-Christians and say, what do you think? Would you watch that? You know, does it catch you? Blah, 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 blah. Because we want non-Christians to be able to look at it and then say this to you, I want another one. And so God would minister to them. And then, of course, the gospel is on there in every single one of them. They can just click the button and get the gospel. If they receive the Lord, they'll get a video congratulating them that I made. And then they'll be able to download 21 Jumpstart, which is a book we give to people who get saved. And it's through the book of John and has a devotional every day for 21 days. They'll get that for free. And at the end of that 21 days, they're going to get another video from me saying, hope you finished the book. And then every month from then on for a whole year, they're going to get a video reminding them of the day they got saved and encouraging them in their walk with the Lord. And so we want to get people saved. We made this with your non-Christian friends in mind, and we want to get feedback from you. We want you to use it. And by the way, hopefully something like that will encourage you as well when you see that. You'll be reminded that God has not forgotten anything in your life. If you're worrying about something, God has you. Amen? And so hopefully you'll download it. We have it on the iPhone. In January, it'll come out Android, and we want to get it to everybody, as many people as we can. It became live on iTunes Friday night. We sent it to a few people, and someone got saved Friday night. And so we already have someone who got saved. Amen. So, and I would encourage you, and we'll talk about this next week and weeks to come, is to think about people you know that do not go to church. I mean, we've sent this to some gangster rappers because we have friends of friends of friends. I won't say any names, but the person that I'm thinking about, you know, and straight up thug, at least that's what was his life. He's trying to get out. And we showed it to him a month ago, and he's like, I want to get this. Those are the people we want you to send it to. And I want to encourage you, don't not send it to people because of what you don't think they'll respond to. Send it to people because God, just send it to them, okay? Because I will probably, when I, you know, my gift is evangelism, and I communicate to people that other people don't. That's my strength. So you want to send it to people that I'm going to talk to. You're not going to talk to them. Let me talk to them. and let God speak to them and let God show you what to do. Now, maybe they'll say they don't want it. Just keep praying for them and then send them another one. Okay. But all you got to do is, you know, on the app, it has a button that says share. You can share it on Facebook, Twitter, email, text. It's right there. Just hit Twitter and it goes right to your Twitter. It's just boom, automatic. You can't miss it. And just do it every day. Boom, send it out. And people are going to get saved. Because the average person has 130 people in their social network on average. So that means if you're average, you have about 130 people in your network. They all have 130 people. They all have 130 people. And so you're going to reach people you never imagined reaching. Amen? Amen. December 19th, this Thursday, if you're in South Bay and you're Chula Vista area, you're interested in having a church down there, we're going to be down there for a service Thursday night. It's all in your bulletin. And then Toys for Joy. Let's give a hand for all the people in Toys for Joy. Let me just say thank you to all the people who volunteer. We have 1,700 volunteers, but here are the people who organize it. Debbie Smith, Ernie Awad, Joyce Crittenden, Michael Hawley, Sharon Perdica, and Michelle Costa. Let's give all those people a big hand. Amen. That event, they will start planning the next one next week. We'll start working on the next one next week. Next year, we're doing three. We're doing North County, East County, and where we just were. So we went from one to three. And I assume in North County and East County, they're cheering right now, screaming right now. I can hear them. So get ready. Amen? Let's see a Bible. One more time, say word. Okay, turn to the book of Micah, M-I-C-A-H. If you know where Matthew is, turn to Matthew, then go towards the beginning, about six or seven books, and you'll get to Micah. Micah chapter 5. Micah 5. Have all y'all done your Christmas shopping? If you have not, say amen. Amen. Pretty much everybody. I haven't started either. I'm trying to strategize. Who am I going to see? Who am I going to avoid? No, I'm only kidding. I always ask my wife, okay, she does all the shopping, but, you know, I gotta go out personally and buy something for somebody. So try to do all that in an hour. Fella, how many fellas in here hate to shop? Raise your hand. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? How many of y'all just shop like you're hunting? You're like, bam, got it. Okay, now I'm going. So let's pray. And I want to ask y'all to keep my wife and daughter in prayer. Whenever, especially the last 90s, well, it's been going on for a long time. Whenever some ministry opportunity like that, Miles a Minute, or something's coming up, my house, my wife and daughter go into experience a lot of attack, physical attack, emotional attack. My wife has pain in her neck, collarbones, broken rib, out of nowhere, back, legs, just excruciating pain all day and night. My daughter, sick, just... It's so obviously spiritual. It's like on clockwork. And so, you know, they're very sick right now. And just appreciate praying for my wife is Debbie and my daughter is Kimmy. But that is a real thing we deal with on a daily basis. And the things that God is doing in our life now, ministry-wise, are getting bigger and bigger, and the attacks are getting more intense and more intense. And so the devil's trying to get us to stop. We're not going to stop. But at the same time, we got to pray for them. So funny, I come all excited, and they're like this. You know, will you just, like, get another job or something? So they don't say that, but, you know, it's like, you know. But that's the reality of my life. When I go home, you know, that's when I go into my house. It's just dealing with the devil every day. So, Lord, we just thank you for your faithfulness and pray. You bless my wife and daughter, that you protect them and heal them and deliver them and set them free. We pray for supernatural visitation in my house. And Lord, we pray for our church, that we can continue to be a light in San Diego. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the reasons Toys for Joy and our Good Friday service that we had last year for the first time out in the community was such a big deal to me. Because the reason we started this church was not only out of obedience to God, but so people can get help, not to have a meeting. Because there are people who do get help in here, and then there are people who just play church in here. Some of y'all here check the box and go to church. And all the work that we put in to put on 15 services that we have in East County, North County here is not worth doing it for people to just say to go to church. That's not, we don't want to do that. We want to help people. So we do believe we're helping people here, very much so. But when you have an event like Toys for Joy or the event we had Good Friday where you see people who are in need, get need on the spot. It's so encouraging. I mean, Channel 10 did a piece last night of a woman. She was just tears coming down her face as she was giving a toy to her daughter. And she said, when I grew up, there were times we didn't have a Christmas. My mother was poor, and this is the only gift my daughter will get. It was right here and right now. My wife, that was her life when she was a kid. She was very poor. And there was several Christmases she didn't know she would get anything because she wasn't going to get anything from her mother. She couldn't. And, you know, there were years she would get one toy from somebody, and that was like, it was Christmas. It was like, wow. It wasn't like, what else? It was like, I got something. That was my wife. So this is a very real thing for us, but it's also very real to God because God, when John the Baptist's disciples said to Jesus, are you really the one? He told John's disciples, go tell John what you see. I'm healing the blind, the mute, the deaf, raising the dead, and I'm preaching the gospel to the poor. And he told us to take care of the poor, take care of widows and orphans. That's what he told us to do. And so when we help people who are in need, that is what the church is called to do. And so to see that happen by the thousands in one day is like, it's like an adrenaline rush just to see help after help after help. There's about 400 to 500,000 people in San Diego who are food insecure. Everyone say food insecure on 3, 1, 2, 3. Which means they don't know where their next meal is coming from. Now, if I said to you, do you know where your next meal is coming from? You probably would say yes, but you might say no because you don't know what restaurant you're going to. But that's not what that means. It means I don't know if I'm going to eat because I don't have food and I don't have any money to buy food. There's about 500,000 people, 400,000, 500,000 people in San Diego who are food insecure. So when people come to Toys for Joy and they can get a bag of groceries and eat lunch, which we also feed them lunch as well, so they got food in their stomach and in a bag, that is a blessing for us to do. So someone asked me in one of the interviews yesterday, it was our church staff interviewed me for our video, and they said, what is the one thing you want people to leave with from Toys for Joy? It's not necessarily a toy or a bag of food or clothes. I mean, those are all great. It's hope. That we hope, my prayer is that this token of gifts to them gives them hope and expectant desire that someone really does understand their pain and someone is there who cares for them. So they can go home and say, my life is worth living another day. There is somebody out there who God is touching on my behalf. That's what I hope that they want them to leave with. As we continue our series about talking about Christmas in the Old Testament, we're going to look in the book of Micah. The book of Micah is a minor prophet. There were 17 prophetical books in the Bible, 5 major prophetical books, major because they were big in size, and then 12 minor prophets or smaller books. This is one of them. And a prophet was a person who was a mouthpiece of God. A prophet would say, thus saith the Lord. God told me to say this to you. They weren't necessarily there to tell you the future. God is going to do this in the future, necessarily, or predict the future. They were there to say, here's what God says. Now, sometimes God would just correct people and say, you're in sin. God said, you're in sin. You need to know that. And that means you're busted. So they would say that, or they would say, God's going to do this in the future sometimes. But the main focus was to speak the word of God to someone or a nation so the people would obey God. That was the end result. They wanted people to trust God. So anytime God promises you something or corrects you or challenges you or gives you a blessing, it's all so you would just trust him. That's all he really wants, is you have a relationship with him. That's the point. He doesn't want you to be a robot. He wants you to be a child. There's a difference. He wants you to be a child. And so the book of Micah, 30% of the book of Micah, God is indicting them for their sins. One of their sins is oppressing the poor. Another third of the book is God telling them, I'm going to judge you for your sin. And another third is God giving them hope. Everyone say hope. And the hope is that the Savior is going to be born in Bethlehem. And we know Jesus was born in Bethlehem. At least the New Testament tells us that. We know that because that's what the New Testament tells us, and that's what history tells us. And he was born in Bethlehem, the city of David, the town David was born in was Bethlehem. And so we know that. So God is going to make this prophecy, and we're going to look at what that means to us. Okay, chapter 5, verse 1. It says in verse 1, it says, he's going to first tell them they're going to be judged. It says, now gather yourselves in troops, O daughters of troops. He has laid siege against us that they will strike the judge of Israel with a rod on the cheek. Basically what Micah is saying is that you are going to be judged for your sin. Everyone say, I'm going to be judged for my sin. You're not going to get away with your sin. I like to work out with different people, and we have former heavyweight champion, Chris Bird, who goes to our church. He may be listening right now in North County, goes up to the North County campus. And he fought at Vander Holyfield, and he's world champ, okay? And he trains people. And one of the people he trains is Adrian Gonzalez, who plays for the Los Angeles Dodgers, who played for the Padres a few years ago. And so I said, I want to come up and work out with you guys. So I went up Friday, and I get there, and they said, well, the first thing we're doing is we're going to spar. So before, what that means, we're getting the ring, gloves, headgear, and fight. Okay, so he's a former heavyweight world champion. I mean, I'm nothing when it comes to boxing. Okay, my brother boxed, so I mean, I was around it, I watched it, but all right, I'll go in there. So I take my glasses off. I can't see. I didn't bring a mouthpiece because it's my first day. So, needless to say, we are all talking trash. He's gonna beat me up. He's gonna knock my teeth out, and I'm like, I'm gonna knock you out. I really say that because I'm not gonna knock him out, but just because I had to convince myself of something. And so what we did is around this 3 minutes, Adrian would fight for 2 minutes, and basically we would just hit on him and hit on Chris, and Chris would just cover up because, he wasn't gonna hit us. That just wouldn't be right. So Adrian's pounding on for 2 minutes, then I jump in for 1 minute, then Adrian, so it's 3 minutes at a time, but he never has a break. He goes 2 minutes with Adrian, 1 minute with me, 2 minutes with Adrian, 1 minute with me. We did that for 6 rounds. And I would do 1 minute, then I'm on the ground like this. Then I get back up and do another minute, and then it was difficult. So I took my glasses off, I got no mouthpiece, and I'm in there beating on him. And all he did was basically he would just block the punches, and if we can get one in. And I'm looking at Adrian. Adrian's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. He's trying to hurt him. I'm like, okay, I like this, because this is like, get the punch on a guy, right? And so I go in there. And I had my belt, so I put my belt across the top of my head because in boxing, you can't hit below the belt. And that will be a mile a minute, by the way, okay? That will be a mile a minute. So I had my headgear on. I had no glasses. I can't see, but I'm in there, and I'm pounding. I'm like, I'm trying so hard to hit him. I'm trying so hard. We warmed up a little bit, a little shadow boxing, so he gave me a couple of lessons. And every now and then, I would get him in the face. Boom! And then, boom! And then I would hear the gallery, yeah, Miles! It really was Adrian, but he was like, yeah, one guy. And I'm starting to feel good. I'm like, bam, 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 bam. I'm throwing combinations. And he just, bam, bam, he's just taking it. And then when he sensed I was getting a little confident and kind of out of touch with reality, he would say, I need to remind you who you are not and who I am. And he would just go, boop, in my stomach. And I was like, oh. And he'd keep punching. And he would just remind me. I said, listen, you can hit me anywhere. Just don't hit me here, because this is my franchise right here. Don't hit me here. With the heavyweight champion of the world. And he's boop, not hard. I would still be there on the ground. Boop. And I'll go, hoo, hoo. God will let you sin. He will let you ruin your life. And every now and then, he's just going boop to remind you that he doesn't approve what you're doing, but more so that sin has a penalty. So you can say, okay, God, I want to obey you. And so what Micah is saying here is that, Israel, you're going to be punished. But, everyone say but. This is the good part. Look what it says in verse 2. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, Bethlehem. Everyone say Bethlehem. Say bet. Say lahem. Anybody get spit on? Bet is house. Lahem is bread. Bethlehem is house of bread. Jesus is the bread of life. Just something for you to remember. It's ironic. God doesn't make mistakes. He's coordinated. And he says, you, Bethlehem, look what it says. Though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. In other words, Bethlehem or Israel, God is going to judge you, and it's going to be bad. But there's going to come a Savior, 700-something years after this, by the way. There's going to come a Savior out of little tiny Bethlehem. What's the significance? Little tiny Bethlehem. The Savior of the world is not going to be born in a big palace. Not going to be born in a big city. Not going to be born to famous rich people. Little tiny Bethlehem. What does that tell you? That God is not looking at your outward appearance. That God would use an insignificant place with two poor people, Joseph and Mary, poor family, had a baby in someone else's house. The inn was a guest house, guest part of a house, of someone else's house, and they didn't even have a place of their own at the time. Well, they were traveling, but they were in a house, and they had it in a manger, not in a big palace, and that is where the king of the world is going to come from. Why is that significant? Don't get caught up in what you don't have. Don't get caught up in how many degrees you don't have, how cute you may not think you'd be. The world will tell you, you need to look like this, sound like this, live over here, be this shade, this height, all that kind of stuff. And man looks at the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. I just heard on the radio the other day a study that says, if you're good looking, you have a better chance of being successful in this world than if you're not. Really, it said that. Now, some of y'all may have experienced that. Both sides of that coin, at least in your mind, you thought, well, they didn't treat me right because I'm not good looking, or they did treat me right because I'm good looking, or they didn't treat me right because of my race or my gender or whatever it is. And that may be true because that's how man is, but in God's kingdom, it's different. God's looking at your heart. And let me say this, newsflash, if man doesn't want you to have a job because of how you look, whatever that means, or your gender, if man doesn't want you to have a job and you're faithful to God and God wants you to have the job, you're getting a job. Here's why that's so important for you to know, that though man will try to hold you back, man cannot stop you 1 second past what God has ordained for you. If, and there's a big if, or a big but, birth of butt boogie, this is a big butt. How many of y'all remember the birth of Butt Boogie? Oh, y'all, oh, man, you're killing me. If you obey God. There's a verse in Romans that says, all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And a lot of times people only quote the first part. All things work together for good. And all things don't always work together for good. Only for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. What does love God mean? Obey. If I go out and kill somebody, I'm going to jail. And God's name is going to be smeared. All the people that know I'm a pastor. Horrible. That would be horrible. Period. Nothing good about that. If I obey God, and if you obey God, all things are going to work out. Not everything's going to happen the way you want, but in the end, it will work out. You have to obey God. So though man may discriminate against you, that is only going to happen to achieve God's end. So don't worry about what man says. What is God saying? God says, I am going to choose little tiny Bethlehem with this little tiny couple that nobody knows, and I'm going to bring the Savior of the world into the world through them. What does that mean? That God can and will use you if you are just faithful. There's two little kids that have inspired my heart and make me smile in Southeast San Diego. They come from very common family, live across the street from Lincoln High School. As far as I know, they're not wealthy. As far as I know, they're not famous. As far as I know, they're not, you know, influential in the city. As far as I know. Last year, we have a bike raffle at every event, and all throughout the day, we give away bicycles. We got 80 new bikes last year to give away. This year, we got 212 bikes. Amen. And so they're out in the field, and we take these raffles out. Everyone gets a raffle, and I pick one out, and this little girl comes running, and she has reindeer hat on, and I remember it vividly, and she got her bike, and she's 10. She had a little brother, 7, a little sister, 3. She goes and gets a bike for her little sister. So she's standing over there with her brother and sister. They're just standing together waiting. And then her brother wins. He comes down. He goes and gets a bike for his older sister. I'm like, who raised these kids? They're over there waiting to get a third bike. They don't get the third bike. So we say, okay, 4 days after the event, we say, we got to give that little boy a bike. So we bought a bike and went down to his house, knocked on the door, because they live right across the street from the school. We found out where they live and said, didn't you do this? Yeah. They're like little kids. Yeah. He said, we got to surprise you. And the news media came, and they put him on the news and said, there's your bike. And he's riding around his driveway on his bike. Well, they came yesterday, and someone brought him up to me and said, hey, you remember us? I was like, why am I telling you a story? Those little kids, I will never forget them for the rest of my life. I got pictures of them. I got pictures, a video with them. Little kids, why? Because they were faithful to do the right thing. God says, I want to do something. And when I picked Jesus from Bethlehem, I am sending a message to you of one of many things, that I don't need worldly wealth. I don't need worldly significance. I just need someone who's faithful. And by the way, Bethlehem was where King David was born. And I promised King David that someone from his ancestry would be sit on the kingdom. David was born in Bethlehem, and Jesus is a descendant of David. God says, I am also going to keep my promise to David. God has something he wants to do in your life. And when he told the prophets about this son that would be born hundreds of years later, he was sending all these messages. I am faithful. I have no respect of person. You have money, you don't have money. You have important, you're not important. You're educated, you're not educated. You're white, black, Hispanic, other Asian, whatever it is. It doesn't matter. Let me see your heart. If you have a heart, if you trust me, I'll do amazing things through you. That's all I care about. And we have to be reminded when Christmas comes, we got all this glitter and all these lights to hype it up. It's like, it ain't nothing to do with that. I want you to go to this little tiny town where they have no lights, no electricity, there's a little baby right there being born where the animals are. That's my king. And look at verse 5. It says, and this is another thing about that king. This one shall be peace. Say peace. He is going to be the prince of peace. Some of y'all are going through stuff right now. Christmas represents to you an opportunity for peace, hope. That you could actually have legitimate hope, which is an anticipated desire, that peace is coming. I don't know if you've ever been in a subway. How many of you have never been in a subway? You never taken a subway trip? Raise your hand real quick. Shut up. You should go to New York or some city and get in the subway. Don't go. I don't know if they have it in L.A. That's like the most dangerous subway because the earth can break. Go to New York and get in the subway. It's very safe. Very safe. It is. How many people are from New York or you've been in the subway in New York and it's very safe? Tell them. It's safe. Here's the thing about New York subway. It is massive and there are millions of people there. And all the people who work in New York, all the execs, that's how they travel. Or a cab, but it's very safe. It's not what you think. Just don't go there at 2 o'clock in the morning with money bags on your back. I mean, that's not smart. But in the middle of the day between like 5 in the morning to 1 o'clock in the morning, you're good. You're good. It's massive. People everywhere. So anyway, if you go on the subway, it tells you what train's coming, blah, blah, blah. But more trains come on one track than more than one train comes on a track. So you're standing, you're looking down the tunnel, and you see this light coming. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. But the light is not necessarily your train. You have to wait. And there have been false lights. And so you have to wait for the train to see on the side of the train what it's called, so you make sure you go to the right place. And some of you have gotten on the wrong train. And you thought it was your, your savior. It may have been a guy, a job, a hairdo, or whatever it was. You used to flick this way, now you're flicking this way. I don't know. And the Bible says, no. In Bethlehem, there's going to be born a child, and he's going to be eternal from everlasting to everlasting, from forever. It means he never had a beginning and never had an end. Jesus was born by Mary, but he didn't come onto the earth then. He was on the earth in the Old Testament, and he actually created the world. Father, Son, Holy Spirit all created the world. So he's eternal. That's your only hope. So what Micah was saying was, in Bethlehem is going to come the eternal ruler. God keeps his promises, and God has no respect of person. He looks for places and people that trust him. In a minute, we're going to pray, and I want to pray peace on your life. By show of hands, how many of you have ever attained a thing or a person or a desire, and yet you never had the peace that you thought it would bring? Because the only thing that's going to bring you peace that the world can't give is the Prince of Peace, the Savior that was born in Bethlehem, that is just simply looking for a relationship with people who trust him. So right now, I just want you all to close your eyes and bow your head online in all the campuses. Close your eyes and bow your head. And I want you to listen very carefully. And I want you to relax. Close your eyes and bow your head. And just listen very carefully. As your heads are bowed, I want you to take a deep breath. And as you exhale, drop your shoulders and your head. Relax. Peace. Take a deep breath and exhale and drop your shoulders and your head. Peace is the absence of chaos. Peace is stillness. Peace is order. It's the lack of clutter. Peace is organization. Heaven is ruled by peace. Some of you have stress in your life. You have chaos. The cares of the world are choking out your ability to hear God. The worries of the world, your financial worries, health worries, relationship worries, worries about your job, God wants to bring peace to your heart. That circumstances wouldn't dictate what you experience. Lord God, I pray peace on every soul listening to my voice right now. I pray they hear your voice. I'm going to ask in all the campuses, I'm going to ask the pastoral support team to come to the altar. In all the campuses, have your pastoral support team come to the altar. And I'm going to pray for all the people in the seats, peace. And there are some of you who right now, you need prayer. You need encouragement. You need God's comfort. You need his peace. For circumstances in your life, relationship, health, financial, self-esteem issues, you feel like a failure. God wants to give you peace. You fear the unknown. You fear tomorrow, the future. God wants to give you peace. So right now, if you would like us to pray with you, for you, you need peace in your life, comfort, just pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I need your comfort. I need your peace. I need to know you love me. I need to know you won't leave or forsake me. Jesus, I cast my burden on you. I receive your burden, which is light. Love me, God. Encourage me, God. Bless me with your peace. Set me free. Heal me. Touch my body. If you prayed that prayer in any of the campuses, in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand up. We want to pray for you and with you. You're not going to get prayed for at work, probably. You're not going to get prayed for at the Charger game or at the mall, at the softball game. This is where it happens. We want to give you a gift from God, a blessing from God. So right now, if you prayed that prayer, and you're saying, Lord, I want peace in my life. Just stand on your feet and acknowledge your prayer. God bless you. Very good. Stay standing. God bless you. 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 We see you all over. We see you in the balcony as well. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Good. God bless you. Lord, we pray peace. We pray healing. We pray comfort. God bless all of you. We pray chaos out of their life. Confusion, stress, be gone. Fear, be gone in Jesus' name. God bless you. Now in a minute, we're going to ask all of you to come forward. And if you're in a balcony, all you have to do is turn around and walk up, and the ushers will bring you down. So right now, if you're standing up, just come out of your seat. Come on down to the altar. Let's give them a hand as they come on down. And just come on right down. Come on now. Come on. Amen. Come on down. Come on down. Just stand in front of somebody right now. Come on all the way down. Amen. Come on down. Come on. Let's encourage them. Let's encourage them. You. Encourage y'all on a couple things. This time, with time, I want to encourage y'all on a couple things. Then we're going to pray for offering. You can stay and pray if you want. You have people in your life who need God. You have people in your life who need God. I guarantee you, though I don't know 99% of you, and I know 100%. I don't know 100% of your friends, but I know for sure 100% of them are sinners because we all are. And if they're sinners, they got pain in their life. I have pain in my life. They need God. And it is your responsibility to get God to them. You have to invite them. You have to pray for them. You do something. Send them a mile a minute. Something. Get them to church. Get God to them. Get God to them. This is Christmas. People are wondering, where am I going to go to church? They're wondering. Oh, it's like fishing. It's like fishing for tuna. They're just biting. Just pull them up. Say, hey, you want to come to church? Hand them a flyer. Send them a something. But get them to church. Sunday, and then Christmas Eve. It's just seven days away and 9 days away. Take advantage, because you won't have another chance till Easter for some of those people. Or let me say this. You won't get the courage until Easter. It shouldn't be that way. But there are people who need God. Do not be fooled by a smile. Matter of fact, on my Mile a Minute today, that if you download it, you'll see it today, whatever you get, it'll still be on there. I'm in Hawaii, and my wife, I don't have sunglasses. So my wife told me to put my sunglasses on top of these glasses. I said, that's going to look stupid. She said, no one's going to notice. And so I got all glasses all jacked up because it looks real funny. And the point is, I said, no one noticed. Well, no one said anything, because we say hi to people, we don't even notice. They go, okay, fine. And they could be crying. You won't even know it. Because you just go, I'm fine, and you just assume it's true. It's not true. We need to pay attention to people. Lord, let me see, who do you want me to pray for? Who do you want me to encourage? Who do you want me to say, how are you doing? Not for real, how are you doing? And when you ask someone how they're doing, mean it. Say, how are you doing? And then listen. Not for real, how are you doing? That's who we need to be. And so I want to encourage you, go out there and go invite somebody. Get the app. It's free. And use it. Use it. It's taken months and months and months, over a year we've been working on it, to equip you to go help people. Okay? So Tommy's going to pray for the offering, and then y'all can be, he'll dismiss you.
Family, if you'll please take these out so we can pray over our offering. I want to pray over our offering, and I want to also pray for you. As always, our encouragement is, when you're giving, go to God. Say, God, what do you want me to do with my tithes and my offerings? Not because we want you to, or anything else, or anybody, or you think it's right. Just, God, how do you want me to be faithful? The Rock is able to do amazing things as a result of your generosity, so I want to encourage you to just continue to be faithful. And those of you that need to start being faithful, start being faithful. Lord, thank you so much for what you've done here today in the hearts of these people. Holy Spirit, I pray you pour out into this room, that you just right now just come down in a way every single person here would just experience you today in a new way today. Lord, I pray you just fill this church and continue to give us your power to be your good news, to be your love to such a broken, broken place, Lord. I pray you pour out your healing on each of these people that have come forward today. I pray you just pour out your Spirit on us right now, Lord. Lord, I pray for these tithes and offerings as they're received. God, I just pray that those that give this morning would feel your touch and your blessing in a way that they would know that they're being blessed for doing what's right, being obedient to you, Lord. Again, use these monies to further your kingdom, to be your love right here in San Diego. Jesus, we love you and we praise you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
God bless you. God bless you.